Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway for this Monday, August 2nd. As Steve would say, Happy New Month. I never heard anyone ever say that until I met Steve Bohl. Happy New Month from Steve Bohl and from Mary Griffith and the Mary Griffith Show, brought to you by Hilbeen Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hilbeen. Well, today's the day we talk about the Great River Economic Development Foundation, and joining me in studio today is the new chairman, executive director, president, whatever, the head honcho of the GREDF, and that is Kyle Moore. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to see you, Mary.
It is wonderful to have you here, and I feel like I don't have to be adversarial. The press always has to be adversarial with government officials and hold your feet to the fire, but now you're with this non-governmental agency, so it's all unicorns and rainbows.
You have to be nice to me now, Mary. People are tuned in just to hear how nice you're going to be. I've been telling people all week, and Mary's going to be wonderful.
Well, see, it's not, you know, now I can't complain, because if GREDF does something I don't like, which they haven't yet, they're not beholden to me, so I have no complaint. But I'm so glad to see that you have taken this new job with the Great River Economic Development Foundation. We've had a long series of people who have helped out, including Phil Conover, mm-hmm. who seems to be the fill-in for everyone. In fact, Steve was just talking about going on vacation. I'm going to see what Phil Conover's doing. Maybe he can sit in with Mary on the Mary Griffith Show. But we've had a long list of illustrious people who've helped GREDF get to the place where it is, and now you come with a very unique set of credentials, because you've been one of the partners with GREDF as a city trying to move things forward. Now it's a little bit different, though, because, you know, instead of answering to the aldermen, I guess, and the voters, you've got to answer to that board of directors. So you got to really keep people happy now.
That's right. You know, I told Marcel he was a teacher, even though he didn't know he had a student for 8 years. And, you know, it's wonderful to be in this position to continue to help out the community and the region overall. You know, as mayor, certainly we never stopped our efforts at the boundaries of the city of Quincy, because, you know, economic development for all lifts everybody's vote.
It doesn't stop.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't go to a borderline and say, oh, that doesn't happen.
Exactly. But this is exciting, because there's so many great initiatives that were already underway, whether it be the concierge program, where GREDF's in the middle of a Puerto Rican initiative with our manufacturers, and of course the strategic marketing campaign, which the city of Quincy is a partner in. So it seems like we have a lot of great momentum. Now we need to execute. And if we execute and do it well, then hopefully it'll be better for our entire economy overall.
Well, you certainly come to the job knowing what's been happening, as you've been mayor for 8 years. So the great thing about it is, you know, we talk about, for example, the Puerto Rican experience. And I think some people are still not quite understanding. They say, well, there are people here in Quincy right now who don't have jobs. The problem, though, is I do feel for anyone who doesn't have a job. But you have to have a skill set that is necessary. And you can go and learn to be a truck driver. You can go and learn to be a welder. You have opportunities, and have had for years, to get yourself aligned with these skills. We simply haven't had enough people step forward. And so now we must look outside of our area. And Puerto Rico is so easy, because they're already U.S. citizens. They don't need to do anything to move here. It'd be like moving from Idaho to Quincy.
That's correct. And so, you know, what GREDF does best is connect resources together, you know, with opportunities. And so if there was an individual who wanted to, you know, become a welder, we certainly can connect them with those opportunities if they're here. But what we constantly hear from manufacturers, and now we're seeing it in hospitality sector and agriculture, is that they need workers. That, you know, I've talked to one manufacturer last week who could hire 60 individuals today. And then when things get rolling again with the supply chain issues, they could hire an additional 150 individuals. And we simply don't have the workforce here for that. And so what we aim to do is connect our employers with a company called Avance USA, which acts as a recruiter of people in Puerto Rico who have skill sets and who want to move to the mainland. Last week we held an informational meeting for manufacturers, and we had 12 show up. And a few days after then, we had two or three employers call who missed the meeting, who wanted additional information. So I think it speaks to the demand. And so what we hope to do is connect these employers with people who have skill sets that meet the needs of their jobs that they have open. And then, of course, do what we do best here in Quincy and Adams County, And that's welcome them when they move here and make them feel at home. And if we can do that, then that will help out so many of our employers and help out our region.
Keeping those workers retained, recruiting them. And, honey, if you're going to move all the way from Puerto Rico, you better be happy once you get here because, that you know, you've really made a huge commitment. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to get anything overseas, you know. I mean, and so it's not like you can just drive your car here. So it's a big push. Now, recently I was talking with someone, I won't name them, but that this company hired a new person, okay, and they knew that this new person would need to be acclimated to the city of Quincy. So this company was smart. They reached out to people who had been involved with this program mm-hmm. and asked them, would you mind meeting with this mm-hmm. woman, helping out this woman, just saying, welcome to Quincy. Is there anything you need to know? I'll help you. It's so important. Mm-hmm. Now, that person will be successful in their job based on their own skill set. But they'll be happy in Quincy, perhaps based on the employer going that extra mile and these volunteers, because they're not getting paid for it. They're mm-hmm. just like, hey, we've hired this new person. They're moving to Quincy. Would you be their little ambassador, their mm-hmm. personal ambassador? A lot of companies do that. Those that don't do it, though, the Chamber of Commerce is willing to kind of do that for them with your are the Gretchen willing
yes.
to do it with
yeah.
the you all
program.
Work together so
well.
I get them all confused, but
yeah.
With your concierge program. So again, recruiting is great, but you got to retain them once they get here.
That's right. So we have so many large employers who have onboarding and community onboarding, but we know that throughout Adams County, you know, many employers hire people from outside the region, and what we want to do is be a resource for them to reach out to us and say, hey, you know, we had an individual and their family move from Colorado. Can you call them up? And then when we call them up, we ask them, you know, have you found a home yet? What did you like to do in your spare time? So, for an example, we had 5 families move from Colorado in the last few months alone.
Really?
And that's why I use that as an example. But it wouldn't be a surprise to you that they asked about outdoor activities. And,
no skiing.
Exactly. But, you know, we were able to...
learn to water ski.
We were able to connect them with the many hunting activities that we have, the bike trails that we have. And so, you know, it's simply having a resource and also somebody they can call, email, text to say, hey, now that I've found that, I'm looking for a church home or I'm looking to join a baseball league. And, that's what the concierge program goal is, to give folks just a friendly welcome, but also to say, is there something that you need help connecting to in our community? And maybe Gretif doesn't have the answer, but we may know somebody who likes that similar activity. If you're raising a young family, we can connect you with other folks who are raising young kids and, you know, set up some play dates, things like that. So it's a free service, and it's something that our employers are taking advantage of. And that was a big component of the Quincy Next strategic plan, that we needed to do a better job of welcoming people into our community and continuing to make sure they're connected to the many amenities that you and I enjoy every day.
Right, because everybody has such difference. Like you mentioned, you know, there are so many places to go four-wheeling and trail biking around here. Don't ask Mary Griffith. I mean, I could find it for you, but I'm not going to take you there because it's not something I do. But you ask me about the theater, I'll bring you, you know. So we have to be that welcoming hand, because at this moment, how did we get in this position? Because it's been a while coming, but we went from having a surplus of workers to having this huge deficit. I mean, it's pretty huge deficit of workers. We're not just down a little. Like, this is a drought, mm-hmm. and it's been going on for years. How did this come to be? Is it because fewer and fewer people are choosing Quincy and Illinois and Adams County as their home? Or
no, I think really we saw the workforce deficit begin to grow, while I was with the city, and you saw Gretif's mission kind of change where, you know, from an organization standpoint, certainly it used to be that we went after new employers and, you know, let's get a new manufacturer in town. And while we will welcome them and we do that, it's not what we, you know, we're not turning our back on that now.
They're not going to want to come if we don't have anybody that'll work
and
there.
So right now our number one mission and if we do one thing right, is to get more people to fill the open jobs, whether it be to retain more of our youth, to see the opportunities that we have here in the community, or to bring in folks. And I think 2 or 3 years ago when we launched that 45 by 30 program, people really didn't feel the workforce deficit because it was mainly in our hospitals and in our manufacturers. But now when your favorite restaurant is closed during the middle of the week, you really start feeling that on a day-to-day basis. And so people understand that this is an issue here for not only our community, but the entire Midwest. And luckily, we put in place some proactive programs that were put on pause because of COVID, but you're going to see in September the city of Quincy launch an alumni recruitment effort, launch an effort to recruit skilled workers from around the region. And of course, then here at Gratif, we're working in tandem with that to bring in skilled workers from Puerto Rico. And at the end of the day, you know, it's not about population. We don't want people to be here just to be here. We want population that can fill the jobs that we have open, because that's the number one issue that our region faces today.
Well, that slides in right with a housing issue. You were mayor when the whole welcome in thing started, mm-hmm. when they couldn't pass their inspection and everything. And I don't want to make you, you know, comment on that, because you're not the mayor of Quincy anymore, and it's not your responsibility. But it just goes to show, now we have even 300 more people who need a place to live. I was down St. Louis this weekend at a ball game, and on the way home, you know, you stop at the gas station and fill up with that cheap Missouri gas, and you hear people talking. And down in Eolia, Missouri, okay, so it's pretty far. This is south of even Bowling Green, okay? Said, oh, she had to get in a, she had to rent a home in Hannibal. There aren't any homes in Troy or Eolia or Bowling Green. This woman had to rent a home in Hannibal, so she's commuting down to, I guess it is Troy for her work. And so there's obviously a critical housing situation down there, that this woman has come all the way to Hannibal to find a home she wants. We've got the same problem here. You mentioned, you know, helping people to find a home. Boy, our housing market,
it's booming.
Unless you want to spend $500,000, there's nothing available.
Affordable housing is an issue, and it's exacerbated by the prices of lumber and the prices to build something. So unfortunately, we're at this unique moment in time where we have a need for jobs, we have a need for people to move in, and yet it's more expensive than ever to build new homes. And yet, as individuals, we want more space, which is why you've seen that sprawl happen here in the city of Quincy. So I certainly think there are some unique things that the county and the city of Quincy can do. You saw that the last 8 years, where we really tried to look at the downtown and renovating those upper story rentals. I know the city of Quincy is looking at a similar rental rehab program throughout the entire community. And so I think you're really seeing now the county and city partnership, along with Gratif and Chamber in the district, to say, okay, yes, business attraction is important, town attraction is important, but there is that component that we want to make sure that we have housing that people want to live in, and a good variety for them to choose from. And that's not a issue that's going to be solved overnight.
No. It's not an issue that's going away, and in some sense, it's our most critical issue. I mean, it doesn't affect me, but because the problem is, if it doesn't affect you, you don't think about it very much. It's kind of like, if my house isn't on fire, I don't think about the fire department too often. If you have a house and you're not worried about it, you don't think about it. But I have talked to young couples that are trying to buy their first home. They've been looking for a year. They finally, you know, got something. They bought it on the first day it came on the market. And then we have the added problem, which is that while people that move here from Puerto Rico and people that move here from other places are probably holding higher paying jobs, or they wouldn't be relocating into our community, we still have a bottom line poverty issue in Quincy, and frankly, very few places for those people to go. And the closing of the Welcome Inn, which will not be reopening anytime soon, or if ever, the closure of that just exacerbates this problem. And so now we've got people fighting for even substandard housing.
Well, but Mary, what Gratif does, and what I believe we've done so well in the past, is start looking at the underlying, it's an issue of workforce. And, you know, at the end of the day, if there are individuals who have substandard houses because they can't afford to live in a better place, we need to do a job in our community that gives them the skill sets they need to get a job that can lift them out of that situation. And for an example, in the last few months, our office has worked with the state's attorney's office to take a look at what are some workforce related programs that we can do for people who are recently, you know, on probation. And, you know, we're excited about a program down the road that we can work with them. And so I think it's incumbent upon all of us, but what Greta's role that we play is to look at from kindergarten to retirement, that you have opportunities in Quincy and Adams County to gain a skill set, to seek a career that fulfills you heart, soul, and your wallet.
Yeah. It's so touching what you just said, because I know that, you know, they're really, the answer to poverty, of course, is a job. Now, some poverty can't be solved. Some people are incapable of working. But there are an awful lot of people that I don't know why, because I can't understand it, because that was not the society or the thing I came out of. But I don't understand why, if you are able-bodied, you cannot get a job. And I think a lot of people are struggling with that. And so we've raised minimum wage. We've done all this stuff. We've tried to improve working conditions for lower income entry level people, and yet it still does not seem to be enough.
Well, we have some other underlying issues that we struggle with in Adams County, which is one, childcare. You know, especially with COVID, if you talk to any childcare facility, the demands on those facilities are now doubled what they were before. So we need to increase access to childcare. Again, not a thing that can happen overnight with licensing, and also rides and transportation to work. I know the city of Quincy is going through a route study program, because that's something when I was, you know, mayor, I rode the bus and found out people working second shift, people going to school at night, they can't get home. And so these are things that the community is addressing, but we have to be patient, we have to be understanding, but we also have to keep moving the ball forward, whether it be through transportation options. And that's one of the things that Greta's been working on, is to say, okay, what are these underlying issues, and are there services that then we can contract out for people who need work, whether it be rides, whether it be daycare, just so that way we can remove those barriers to employment. Because if there are no barriers, then it's on the individual. But we want to make sure that we're giving each person an opportunity to thrive.
What do you perceive as the first challenge that you'll have to attack as you take the reins now of Greta? What has your board, what have you identified as the first check? We've got to check this list off.
Well, it's filling jobs and bringing people into our region. That's the number one thing. The second is retaining individuals, and the third is doing a better job of educating our members and also the public exactly what Greta does. You know, when I was hired
top
on,
secret.
Yeah, when I was hired on, I'm like, what does Greta stand for? What does it do? And so we have to be better at telling the value added. Not only for the city and county, but for the community. But I tell you what, the city of Quincy, with the strategic marketing campaign, you know, with the alumni recruitment, and going after skilled workers, in tandem with our Puerto Rican initiative, working with folks like the state's attorney, we're doing a lot of things now that I believe in 6 months we're going to be able to say we helped X amount of individuals find employment in the city of Quincy with this amount of employers. And if we can do that, then we're doing our job well.
Right. You have to measure incrementally, you know, small steps, because we are in such a worker deficit now that your answer couldn't be, oh, we want to bring 500 workers in by the end of the year.
Well, for example, simply tracking where people are moving from, because I think people think there's a mass exodus out of Illinois, but yet we have you can go on Greta's social media pages, we list in the last 2 months over a map where people have moved into our community from, which is quite astounding, because people, you know, Colorado and Texas think are better states to live in than Illinois, but yet we've had, I believe, 6 families move from those two states combined over the next or
I don't understand
months.
Colorado, but I'll go with Texas. Texas is nothing. But I tell you what, here's your next marketing plan. You got it here.
Okay.
They passed a new law in California that pigs have to be raised a certain way, and there's only 4% of pig suppliers in the United States meet that standard. So there's going to be a huge bacon and ham shortage in California. So there's your headline. Love bacon, love ham, move to Quincy, Illinois, and have all you want.
Done and done.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank
Moore,
you.
The director of Greta. We'll see you again next month.
Thank you.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're going to talk today about the Thrashers. Joyce Waringen has joined me, and we're going to talk a little bit about a big event that's coming up this weekend, and it is the Western Illinois Threshers Bee and Antique Show, starting on Friday and going all the way through Saturday and Sunday. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning. So glad to talk to you about the Western Illinois Threshers. I sure can.
And I can hear you, so life is good. Okay, let's get back to it. Let's talk about the 54th Annual Western Illinois Threshers Bee and Antique Show. Tell us all about what's happening.
Okay, well, we are just really excited to be able to have our show this year. We missed last year, so we're ready to enjoy all the antiques and all the visitors and just have a great time. It starts on Friday morning, and the show, basically, we have grandstand events throughout the day. In addition to that, we have things going on at cabins, out in the fields. So there's just a lot of things to see all day, whether it's the special events in the grandstand, the visiting the village, going out and watching horses plow, or watching the threshing or the sawmilling that are going on constantly throughout the grounds. It's just a fun event.
Well, this is a great event for you know, the whole family, because these young kids today, and I don't remember anybody plowing in the field. I've seen it because of events like this. I mean, Jiminy Christmas, nobody is around today that really remembers when this was really happening. And so, but this is a great thing to go to with, especially with grandma and grandpa, and see the old timey stuff. And as you mentioned, there's something going on all the time, and there's certainly a lot of food available, isn't there?
That's right. We have food vendors who are here throughout the time, and then of course each evening we have our own special dinners that are put on. This year on Friday evening we'll have a ribeye steak supper with potato salad and baked beans, and on Saturday evening we'll have a cured pork chop with au gratin potatoes and garden fresh tomatoes, and those come with a tea or coffee or water beverage. And then in addition to that, in the evening, while people are enjoying their food, we'll have entertainment. We've got exhibition antique tractor pull on the grandstand starting at 6 o'clock. And then on when that's finished, Bocephus Wayne, who's a local music country music artist, will perform on the stage. Then on Saturday, we'll have on-stage band starting as the dinner is going. And that will be interrupted at around 8 o'clock, and we've got an auction of one of our two handmade quilts that will be on display and available at the show.
It is so a those are full. Both. You have three full days, and the great thing about it is you have a unique way to do admission. You basically buy a commemorative button, and the commemorative button has the tractor of the year on it, so it becomes a collectible item. Tell us about how you get onto the grounds.
Okay, well, if you're coming to Hamilton, you turn north at 19th Street, come about 2.5 miles, and you'll see some old antique windmills. They'll usher you into the free parking, and they will ask you who's 12 and over in your car, and anyone who's 12 and over needs a souvenir button. That's just $5, and that's good for all 3 days. So if you want to come for the meal on Friday night and then come for all day Saturday, it's just one admission button, and that lets you into the grounds. All the exhibits are free. The only thing you'll buy after that are any souvenirs you want or the food that you buy or something maybe from the flea market and craft shows. So it's all just there for people to come and take a look at. Might go through the kind of the regular schedule of events. That will begin 9 o'clock on Saturday, on Friday morning. And it's a fun event. It's called Tractor Games. And what I like about this is that these tractors, these are restored and they're beautiful, but these tractor games show that the engines are really tuned up well, because they will be things like a tractor starting race where there's several guys that are starting line, they run to their tractors, they start them up, and then get to the finish line. So whoever's tractor starts up the quickest and they can get it going, why, that's, they're the winner. Then there's a slow tractor race, because they have to go the slowest without killing out their engine. And so that's another thing that's fun. They have throwing frisbees through hula hoops, and they have to go zigzag across the grounds. They do They'll attach a chain to the back of a tractor, and they'll have to go forward and backward and get that chain all within a hoop. And so there's just a lot of fun ways, but it's seeing these antique tractors in action, which is, I think, is a fun way to start the show. So that will be our tractor games at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. Then at 11, there will be an antique tractor pull. And
now, Joy, I just want to tell you, we won't have time to get through everything individually, but just all day long Friday, there's lots of entertainment.
Yes,
and again, and then you can eat dinner there Friday night, see Bo Cephas Wayne on Friday night. Then on Saturday, it starts with a pancake breakfast to 7 to 10, and a pony pull, and more tractor games, and horse plowing, and the car parade begins at 3 on Saturday. And Sunday even starts out with a pancake breakfast. So just every single day, you're going to see just old-fashioned stuff. And there's going to be all kinds of entertainment. It's just a great way to spend a weekend. It looks like you're going to get great weather. My goodness. You're going to have sunshine on Friday and only 87. And not a chance of rain until late Saturday night. So it's going to be really good. So everybody up to the Western Illinois Threshers Bee and Antique Show. It's basically in Hamilton. If you get to Hamilton, you can get there and look for the big antique windmills. That's the key that you're on the grounds. And, of course, if you like bingo and your husband likes to look at tractors and you want to sit down, you can play bingo. There's plenty
of
stuff for
kids. Lots of fun things for kids, too. We've got the kids' pedal tractor pull. We've got the schoolhouse. There's games that, like corn to play in and corn grinding and some of those old-fashioned things to do. So then fun and games for kids, which are those old-time sack races and things like that. So there's some really fun things for the kids. And it's a nice time for the whole family. Just come and visit. Eat a lot of good food.
Well, we'll be talking about it all week here on WTAD, and we wish you all the best. Remember, folks, it is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. $5 is adult admission on the grounds, and that gets you in all 3 days. You get a button. You continue to wear the button. You get back in all 3 days. And this year it's the Oliver tractor that's being featured. So if you know somebody who's a big Oliver fan, make sure to tell them about the Threshers. Thank you so very much, Joyce Swearingen. You have a great day.
Thanks, Mary. Bye.
I'm back in the high life again because I've got John King and Jeff Moran here, and we are going to be talking about the farmer's market. Get right up to those microphones, boys, and speak up big and tall, because first of all, it's Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 6, Thursday from 3 to 6, and Saturday morning from what, 7 to noon?
8 to 1.
8 to 1.
8 to 1, yeah.
Oh, I couldn't get up that early anyway. 8 to 1, and it's behind the Quincy Town Center, formerly known as the Quincy Mall. You guys have been doing this for years.
For years.
And it's sweet corn time right now, right? The sweet corn's in.
Oh, yeah, and the watermelons are just starting to come in now.
Yeah.
See, the thing of it is, when you go to the farmer's market, you got to go frequently to get what's absolutely fresh, because when the watermelon's not in, it's not in. Then the next day, bang,
there it is. Yep.
So you got to keep going to behind the Quincy Town Center and checking it out Tuesdays, checking it out Thursdays, checking it out Saturdays, so they get the very latest and greatest in the produce. And the sweet corn this year, how's it been?
Oh, they've been having them lined up.
Yeah, because there's kind of a sweet corn shortage this year a little bit.
And then the cantaloupe, too. Those are a thing that just within like an hour or so, they're gone.
Yeah. So get to the farmer's market early and visit often. And one incentive to come to the farmer's market, in addition to this tomorrow night, you may see your first watermelons arriving. You know there'll be sweet corn. Tomatoes are coming in. What other kinds of things? Cantaloupe, you mentioned. Those
cantaloupe,
sell out pretty quick.
Okra, zucchini, cucumbers, candy sweet onions.
Candy sweet onions.
Eggplant. Oh, gosh, a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Cucumbers.
It's really the season for it. So stop by, you know, Tuesday afternoon 3 to 6, Thursday 3 to 6, Saturday morning 8 to 1. It's all there. Plus, you have a lot of things at the farmer's market that aren't necessarily quite so seasonal. For example, fresh or frozen beef, locally produced beef, chicken, pork.
Yes.
That's become even more popular, hasn't it?
Paul Smith with Small Farming, he has his regular customers, and he sells a lot. It's really kind of neat to see them lined up there in his line, and a lady that makes jewelry. And, of course, I'm real partial to our J&J soaps.
Gee, soaps and lotions, too. And, again, there's really no season for that, but you guys are constantly coming out with something new. And you've got this brand-new fragrance, which really the name just says citrus, but it's not like any citrus I've ever smelled. There's a lot of other stuff in here besides just citrus.
Yeah.
What's in there? Come on, give away your secret.
Well, it's got a little orange in there, mm-hmm. and it's got a little vanilla, so it makes it a little bit darker soap. And then it's got a little bit of pineapple in there. So it's got like stuff
orange,
like the citrus
and
orange and
lime.
And
so you never know what we put in
there. You never know. Yeah. But it's funny because I think of citrus being yellow or orange, but because of the vanilla bean that you put in here, it turned it a brownish color. So, you know, it's kind of one of those. Why is it that boys like dark soap? Like they think that a light soap is sissy. I don't know why, but anyway.
I think they're thinking about mud or something.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
It's a mud pack. It's a mud pack. So they've got beautiful citrus lotions, citrus soaps. You mentioned the jewelry. There's fresh flowers. Is that pickle lady there? Is she giving up this year?
No, we've not seen her.
We've not seen her yet.
But we got a new vendor that that shows up that's going to do pastries and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, she'll be there on Tuesdays only.
Tuesdays only.
She makes, oh my gosh, I saw her
list.
And I wanted to just break
everything.
The screen and eat it. She
candies
has candies, cookies, cupcakes, like divinity, chocolate covered chairs, just stuff that, you know, that you would never see at a market. And she'll be there Tuesdays only.
Okay.
It's all homemade.
All homemade. So. The reason that Jeff and John are here today, though, they want to especially invite people out this Saturday. If you've never been to the farmer's market and you say, well, I don't know if I even want to go, well, we've got a reason for you to go. Pepsi products are supporting the locally grown farmers. Tell us all about it.
Well, first of all, this year we've got a new sponsor, Quincy Medical Group. They were very, very kind, and I got very lucky to help create our new sign and work with the guy that helped me. And Pepsi-Cola has been very, very nice to us, too, for the last 5 or 6 years. So this coming Saturday, we'll be there from 8 to 1, and the Pepsi wagon will open around 9:30. All of it's for customer appreciation, so everybody that comes out there can get free Pepsi. We'll have Diet Pepsi, probably Sierra Mist and Root Beer, all you want to drink, and it's free. If you want to come back for 2 or 3 glasses or cups, it's you, and you can
and
drink that.
That goes till 1?
Till 1, uh-huh.
Okay, 9:30 to 1, so get your shopping done, get your cantaloupes and your water. It's going to be a fight over watermelons, especially the orange watermelon.
Yeah.
Now, people, I'm telling you, I've seen it and I've eaten it. We're not making it up. There is an orange watermelon. And if you carve it just right, carve a big eye out of it and put blueberries in there, you can have a University of Illinois watermelon right there.
I got mine first, so.
Ah, you guys always have the first dibs on everything. So Refreshment Services Pepsi is going to help you out this Saturday from 9:30 to 1, kind of a customer appreciation. And it's great that Quincy Medical Group has come on because they do help sponsor some other farmers markets, and they're really trying to get people to eat more healthy.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing this trend.
They're very, very kind to help us. We've got a brand new sign that they got for us, and people need to check it out. It's all been redesigned, and we are very, very proud and thankful for them.
How important is the farmers market, do you think, to these small ag businesses? And I'll call you guys with your goat's milk soap. You're a small agricultural business, too. How important is this farmers market season?
Well, it brings fresh produce, fresh products to the consumers. And it's during the pandemic, you know, you could just come out there and get the fresh stuff and mm-hmm. make you feel better. And then also the soap is good for bacteria and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good hand washing, you know, at this time. So
well,
all
you
this
mentioned
stuff.
That these lotions, you know, so many people are washing so much that their natural oils become depleted.
Yes.
But for you guys, this has been really a boon to your business. It's a boon to all these small farmers because they have a place to go and without a middleman.
Right.
Sell their produce, and you know it was picked fresh within the last probably 24 hours at the most.
And no preservatives.
No preservatives. And that's why if you don't get it this day, tough toenails. If they sell out, that's just it. They don't have a big semi-truck coming in that's got all these preservatives on it. So
there's nothing toxic in it.
Nothing toxic.
And our soap, we sell all year round. So if you want it after the market's closed, give us a call. We have people coming in before Christmas, buying a lot of Christmas gifts and stuff, and we're always there.
Always there. And the great thing about it is you can buy it now for Christmas gifts. Stole it in a cool, dry place, and you'll still have it there. Thank you very much, Jeff Moran,
thank you.
John King.
Thank you.
You guys are some of my favorites at the Farmer's Market. Remember, this Saturday, Refreshment Services Pepsi, 9:30 to 1. Do not miss it. Free Pepsi products for customer appreciation from the Farmer's Market at the Town Center.